Well, I've had a week. I'm recording this Thursday night very early into Friday morning. I've had a week to digest the Kansas City Chiefs losing at home to the Denver Broncos on Thursday Night Football. Just in case you missed that happened. Welcome to Roughing the Kicker. This is the Roughing the Kicker podcast on Arrowhead Addict Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe, at JB Briscoe on Twitter. On this episode, we're going to recap the Chiefs' crushing defeat at the hands of the Denver Broncos. And then we're going to preview Monday night's challenge in Green Bay for the Kansas City Chiefs. How can the Chiefs slow down Aaron Rodgers? One of the most difficult settings in football. Plus, what we should expect from this team going forward after blowing the Broncos game. And the Chiefs rookies are getting some praise from Mel Kiper. Talk about what he said in a little bit. But first, we have to start with the thing that is most undeniable. So Chiefs lost to an inferior team on Thursday night, am I right? I mean, there are more important things than the final score. You know, who had the most fun, perhaps? No? Oh, okay. Delaying the inevitable just by about 30 seconds, I want to again remind you, if you're listening, you can support the show. The best way you can support the show is at patreon.com/RTK, patreon.com/RTK. Check it out. You can give a little bit of money to me and the show here and continue to grow the show, improve the show. We'll be adding guests, upgraded hosting, hopefully much more of that in the future, along with many other improvements. If you can't afford to do that right now financially, share the show with your Chiefs fan friends, write reviews on iTunes, tweet about it, tweet me what you like and don't like about the show, as I said earlier, at JB Briscoe on Twitter. That's enough promotion. Let's talk about what actually happened on Thursday. Denver Broncos 31, Kansas City Chiefs 24. It was all going so well. At least, for the first drive. The Chiefs opened the game, forcing the Broncos on a four and out to punt. Then the Chiefs drive down the field on a 70-yard drive, get down to third and goal at the five. Alex Smith passes it to Jamal Charles for about negative 1 yard. Charles gets hit, coughs it up, fumble recovered by the Broncos. Turnover number one happens right then. But then the Broncos have negative 4 yards on their entire drive, punt back to the Chiefs, who then get 4 yards on their drive and punt it back to the Broncos. Then another punt from the Broncos with another turnover, so the Broncos get the ball right back once again. And then the Broncos turn it over on downs. But the first quarter ends 0-0, and frankly, if you could say as a Chiefs fan the first quarter you'd be tied, I think you'd probably take that in a vacuum, even though in this case it should have been at the very least 3-0. If Charles just hold on to the football, the Chiefs go up 3-0. But the Chiefs then go get their touchdown, their first touchdown of the game, a 78-yard drive on only 6 plays, capped off with a 34-yard touchdown run by Jamal Charles, so a little bit of redemption from his early fumble. But we had no idea what was coming next. And then the game actually took like a turn where even I picked the Chiefs to win this game, but I'm still very cynical for the most part. I'm a cynical optimist, at least when it comes to the Chiefs. And then rookie first-round pick Marcus Peters picks off Peyton Manning that very next drive, takes it back for a 55-yard touchdown. At this point, it's 14-0. Manning and the Broncos seem a little frazzled. It's a good place to be for the Chiefs at this point. 14-0, and again, Peyton Manning seems to be on his heels in the second quarter. But then the Broncos come right back, 10 plays, 80 yards, march down the field and score. At that point, though, it's 14-7. I'm not absolutely, I'm not wringing my hands at this point. It was a good drive by the Broncos, taking it down to very close to the end of the half, and it ended with a 16-yard pass from Manning to Emmanuel Sanders. Then the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have the ball with about 2.5 minutes remaining in the half. Smith incomplete deep to Jeremy Maclin, and then Smith back to Maclin. Not only incomplete this time, but intercepted by Aqib Talib, who takes it back to the 15-yard line. And then, of course, with only 15 yards to go, the Denver Broncos get a touchdown. Peyton Manning was not looking great, but whenever he only had to go 15 yards and he had 2 minutes to do it, you knew what was going to happen there, I feel like. And maybe that's revisionist of me, but culminates with the Virgil Green touchdown reception from Peyton. And then going into the half, it is 14-14, which is, at the time, discouraging, because of the 14-0 start. In fact, Curtis Siebold of 810 Sports Radio, where I work now, also tweeted, and I retweeted because I felt the same way, said, I have an absolutely terrible feeling about the second half of this game. The Chiefs had 114 yards in the half, and 35 came on one play. So, that was scary at the time. I endorsed that at the time, and that ended up panning out. And then a little later on, I went back to a pregame prediction and tweeted this out. It says, I said before the game that Fleming was my most feared matchup. I wish he'd stop validating my fear. He never did. He never stopped validating that, and we'll come back to Fleming in a little bit. Another thing that I noted throughout the game, at one point at least, all the Chiefs had to do to get Peyton Manning back on his heels, which they did so well at the beginning and then began to fail to do, all they had to do was flush him out of the pocket. It's all it takes. Sacks are great. Hitting Peyton Manning, fantastic. But if you get Peyton Manning out of the pocket with his current level of mobility and even just his arm strength, which is not great anymore, he's going to make a poor throw more often than not. So the Chiefs just needed to flush him out more often, but didn't happen enough ultimately. I argued that it felt like the game changed at halftime, and it did to some extent. Ultimately, both teams exchanged field goals, and I tweeted, the Broncos now winning 17-17, because that's, to me, how it felt. Again, I'm cynical. I'm a cynical optimist with the Chiefs. I want to believe that the good things are going to happen, but I've been around long enough to know that's not really how it works. So they exchanged field goals, then there are four consecutive punts, and then another turnover from the Chiefs. Here another interception from Alex Smith trying to hit D'Anthony Thomas short to the right, picked off by Chris Harris at the Denver 10. And that pass was on 3rd and 10 from the Denver 17. So if that pass just falls incomplete, that's an easy 3 points for Cairo Santos to pick up for the team. So the Chiefs undeniably leave 6 points on the board. If Charles would have hit the ground and Smith would have just thrown the ball over D'Anthony Thomas's head into the sidelines, the Chiefs have 6 extra points in this game. Which would have changed how they played the end of the game, which I wish I didn't have to talk about, honestly. So the pick to the Broncos doesn't turn into points, which is something the Chiefs defense did a really phenomenal job for most of the game, is even whenever the Chiefs offense made these huge mistakes, they didn't always turn into points, or at least not big points. So the Broncos end up punting, they go 3 and out, and pick up just 5 yards. And then the Chiefs drive six plays for 61 yards, ending with a Nile Davis touchdown. And they go back up 24-17. And at this point, I honestly felt like they were going to win this game. I really did. It's 24-17. They have to stop Peyton Manning here one more time. The kickoff is into the end zone. Manning has 2.5 minutes to go 80 yards. And at halftime, I should point out, it seemed like Peyton Manning told Gary Kubiak to go back into his shell because he was going to run Peyton Manning's offense, as he should. He's Peyton Manning. The offense changed at halftime. The game changed at halftime. That mistake by the Chiefs and then just Manning coming out looking like a different person, both all relevant and heavy factors here. But with 2.5 minutes, I thought the Chiefs would be able to keep Manning from going all 80 yards up 7 points. The Broncos had to have the touchdown, but it didn't happen. Manning goes Demaryius Thomas for 22, then to Demaryius Thomas again for 17, a couple of shorter plays, Demaryius Thomas again for 15. And at this point, this was the true roasting of Jamel Fleming that I alluded to earlier. I said before the game that Jamel Fleming in that matchup was going to be the one that Peyton Manning would target, just like he did with Marcus Cooper in years past. We've seen this happen. We knew it was going to happen again, and I knew it was going to be Jamel Fleming. What the Chiefs didn't do here is adjust appropriately. Steven Nelson, the rookie draft pick out of Oregon State, has been inactive for the first 2 games of this year, which is strange and kind of concerning to me. I'll talk about the other rookies in a little bit, or 2 of the other rookies at least. But that's a very negative thing to me, especially because the Chiefs needed someone to try to step up, although Nelson is a small guy, presumably going to be covering in the slot more often than not. But Jamel Fleming, there was a report that eventually came out that the Broncos literally had him circled on all of their printouts of the Chiefs' defense, and they should have. He's the weakest link in a very good secondary, and if Sean Smith hadn't gotten drunk and driven and then hit a light post, Chiefs probably win this game, although I still don't think that this game can be put on Jamel Fleming's shoulders because he didn't turn the ball over five times. But now you could throw some blame in Bob Sutton's general direction for never adjusting well enough to help Jamel Fleming. I don't know exactly what the secondary strategy was, but the pass rush began to not be as effective towards the end of the game, especially on that final drive. Peyton Manning didn't have to feel it as he surgically tore the heart out of Chiefs fans as he does so frequently. But something needed to happen with Jamel Fleming and that secondary there. It was obvious where Manning was going. It was at Fleming, and the Chiefs' defense did not adjust. But then it's 3rd and 10 at the Kansas City 19. At this point, the Broncos, you assume, have two plays to get the first down or about 40 seconds to get a touchdown. And then on that 3rd and 10 from the 19, Emmanuel Sanders gets hit by Manning for the touchdown. Just so disconcerting, so sad, honestly. The Chiefs just had to stop Manning at any point 80 yards along the way. Never did. At this point, the Chiefs get the ball back with about 40 seconds or so, and the strangest thing I've ever seen happens. But I guess let's stay with that for a moment. Looking at the play call, whenever the Chiefs got the ball back, it's tied. You take knees and go into overtime, but... And I wouldn't have minded that because the Chiefs had such a strong home field advantage in this case. And really, the Chiefs had the karma advantage, the home field advantage, the everything should be breaking our way advantage in this game because Manning didn't look very good in Arrowhead, primetime game, the most watched Thursday night football game of all time. Everything was set to go in the Chiefs' favor here. Everything looked good for what they could accomplish. Even going into overtime tied. However, if you want to take a couple of shots, I wouldn't have had a huge problem with that. However, you know, a deep pass that gets picked off turns into a field goal and the game ends there. So what Andy Reid does is he calls for a handoff to Jamal Charles, which I have a hard time being unbelievably critical of because he's Jamal Charles. He doesn't make these kinds of mistakes. He fumbled earlier in the game, and at this point, if the Chiefs had those extra 6 points, they could have taken their knees, or the Broncos would have had to have tried an onside kick. Jamal Charles does not fumble the ball in a case where it is an immediate loss. That just doesn't happen, but he did here. So he gets hit, the Broncos scoop it up, walk it in, and that's it. The game ends there. Now, the Chiefs got the ball back one more time to try to run a couple of plays. There was no sense of urgency there, and I understand because the game was over. The steam was out of the team. There was just nothing but just this, like, empty, defeated, in every sense of the word, kind of feeling. And honestly, one thing I tweeted about over at J.B. Briscoe, which I've said several times now, it's games like this that make people give up on teams. And we saw it a little bit. No, not even a little bit. We saw it in the Colts playoff game where the Chiefs had their big lead. Everything was coming up roses to actually win a playoff game for the first time in my lifetime. And they blew it. The opening game of the year last season was like this. The Titans at home. Titans end up with a number 2 overall pick after beating the Chiefs even. The Chiefs lose at home to the Tennessee Titans. Deflating. But in this case, it's worse than the Titans game. Not as bad as the playoff game because that's a playoff game. But the Chiefs had so much that could have been riding on this game. Clear advantage in the division. Knocking out Peyton Manning in Arrowhead when they had their best chance. Cutting a hole in the armor of the Broncos that seemed to be rusting away. The Broncos' defense is fantastic. Their defense forced some of those turnovers, and the Chiefs just gave some of them up. But regardless, the Broncos have a very good defense. Both teams were putting on a pass-rushing clinic for the majority of this game. But this is the kind of... Andy Reid decided to have Jeremy Maclin try to throw a pass. He got sacked. But Why is Jeremy Maclin throwing a pass? Throw a touchdown to a receiver, not from a receiver. Just throw a touchdown. I don't care. Figure out a way to score and take this from the Broncos while you still can. Early on in the game, there were three passes in the red zone where before Jamaal Charles fumbled the ball away. Charles couldn't get the ball in situations where he wanted him to have it. Of course, the fumbling problem was not anything that Reed was aware of, obviously, or was expecting, because he wouldn't have given him the ball later on. So I would have given the ball to Charles in the middle of the game, and just if fumbles happen, they happen. I understand. They can kill you. They're vicious. But if you're giving you can't live in fear of Jamaal Charles fumbling the ball, because he hasn't had those problems in a very long time. But Andy Reid, Bill Simmons tweeted, textbook Andy Reid, wasting momentum with a terrible trick play that loses 3 yards, followed by the wasted timeout. What year is this? I tweet, I just can't be surprised. Smith plus this offensive line against this pass rush is always going to go badly. Jason Lockenfora, wonder what would happen if, like, Jamaal Charles ever got even 4 straight carries. Our friend Tom at TJF Sports, biggest drive of the game. Best player gets the ball once, shotgun every play but one. LOL, okay. TJ Carpenter, play calling has been bad, execution has been bad. Jamaal Charles has been good, also underutilized. And that's even after one fumble. Bill Simmons, fake quoting Phil Simms, quote, Manning has thrown a pick six and 4 dropped interceptions and missed a wide open guy for a touchdown. Brandon Kiley, as the Chiefs invented their new ways to throw a game away, quote, I've watched this game since 2003. It's the same thing every damn time. Arrowhead Addict, 5 turnovers and you don't win, period. This one's on Jamaal Charles and Sean Smith. I throw in Alex Smith. Sean Smith might have won this game for the Chiefs, because you wouldn't have been able to pick on Jamaal Fleming, but you cannot win with 5 turnovers. I'm just reading my tweets now, because this is all I could do. In every way, this game was set up to go the exact opposite way for the Chiefs. So much for having faith in this team. I add now, as I said earlier, home field, Thursday Night Football, huge spotlight, Manning's going downhill, the Chiefs appear to be rising, both defenses are good, but the Chiefs just went on the road in Houston. The Chiefs need to win this game because next week they're going to Green Bay, which I'll start talking about here in just a second. Going to Green Bay. It's not a game you're expecting to win. Get up 2-0 right now in the AFC West. Knock the Broncos down to 1-1 after looking pretty crummy in their first game. At Patrick Kims tweeted, worst Chiefs early season home loss ever. Denver all but handled them and handed them a win. Gave it back 5 times. I feel like, honestly, it's the worst home opener loss since last year. I praised Andy Reid the beginning of this year after the Houston game, because he finally came out and wasn't totally outcoached. The team didn't underperform. They didn't come and fall flat. They waited till they got home to do it, and maybe their biggest game of the year. I mean, you can't call a Week 2 game necessarily must win, but it could have set the tone for how this year was going to go. The Chiefs could have put themselves at the top of the AFC West and never given that up. Gagged it away. Stephen St. John, terrible play calling. 5 turnovers and a quarterback that the head coach didn't trust with the game on the line. I tweeted, the key to a Reed-Smith offense is no turnovers, right? Isn't that how it works? No wonder they lost with 5. This loss is simple. We talk about Andy Reid and the West Coast offense. I like Alex Smith generally. My faith in Alex Smith is that he will make plays when he needs to, or he can make plays with guys around him, and he won't turn the ball over. This team turned the ball over 5 times. 2 from Charles, 2 from Smith, 1 on special teams. Brandon Kiley again. Here's the crazy thing. The Chiefs had the ball with the game tied after turning the ball over 4 times. The Chiefs had the ball with the game tied with 4 turnovers. Kiley again. This is a damn good football team. They turned the football over 5 times against an inferior team and they got beat. Yeah, that's going to happen. But I add now, being the better team, doesn't matter if you turn the ball over 5 times and you actually get the win. If this game happens 10 times at Arrowhead, the Chiefs win what, 6 times maybe? Maybe 7 times? I'll say 6. The Chiefs win 6 times if they play this game 10 times at Arrowhead. Sure, they're the better team in that regard. That doesn't matter. That does not matter that they're the better team, because you can't win when you turn the ball over 5 times. It's impossible. It's just turnovers. They might be the better team, but it's completely irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant, as I tweeted, completely irrelevant when you can't close it out for 20 years. I hate to be the guy beating the dead horse in the playoff game thing, but games like this bring all of that right back to the forefront. The Colts game, the Titans game last year, this game here with the Broncos at home with Peyton Manning, decrepit Peyton Manning, slicing the team up when it finally matters. They haven't won this team, this franchise hasn't won a playoff game in my lifetime. I don't think there's some curse. I'm not going, oh, Clark Hunt, look at you, just pocketing money. It's not it at all. That is not it at all. The 20 years thing is just how sick I am of this same story over and over. With the Chiefs bounce back, yeah, I'm going to say in a second, I think they have a chance to beat the Packers in Green Bay. 10-point underdogs. Yeah, I think they're a good team. But you cannot throw games away like this. Todd Lebo, remember when the time Chiefs were leading Denver by 7 with 40 seconds left and somehow lost by 7 in regulation? Did that really happen? It did. It absolutely did. A 14-point swing. We're really in like 9 seconds, but with 40 seconds left, the Chiefs were up by 7 and then lost by 7 in regulation. Sean Keeler, turn it over 5 times, even at home against a good team, and at some point the football gods stop listening to your prayers. At @IM_Alex, who sends a lot of good tweets my way, a lot of interesting observations, was talking about Jamel Fleming and the Jamel Fleming problems. Well, I would rather see Parker at corner and Branch rolling. Anyway, I thought Fleming tonight was totally exposed. Fleming was totally exposed. The idea of moving Parker to corner and Branch to safety more is very interesting. I don't trust Parker at cornerback at all, but getting Branch on the field at least, and maybe adding something there where Parker is playing, maybe Parker does give it a shot. I don't know. Something changing there would have been fine with me. On a positive note, Chris at @KCChiefs_58 says, lost in this meltdown is the superb play of Jay Howard. He thinks the Chiefs should give him an extension, and the Chiefs' run defense looks legit. It does. It might be. The Broncos didn't run anything. I have to pull up the box score because I was looking at all the scoring plays and trying to keep track of all the places the Chiefs turned the ball over. Ronnie Hillman, 9 carries, 34 yards. C.J. Anderson, 12 carries, 27 yards. The Chiefs gave up 61 yards rushing and 238 passing. I'm going to do the math in my head. That's 299 yards on offense total. The Chiefs gave up 299 yards. They didn't give up 300 yards, but the Broncos scored 31 points and they lost because of turnovers. And it's just that simple. Charles puts on the ground twice. DeAnthony Thomas once. Smith throws 2 picks. That's the story, folks. That's what's going to happen in Green Bay also. It's going to be about the turnovers. Chiefs are a good team. They can hang with just about any team in the NFL, I think. The only exception might be in Green Bay in prime time. Everywhere else, I feel confident the Chiefs can stick around and actually make a game out of just about anything. Can't do it with 5 turnovers. It's not going to happen. Back to Tom at TJF Sports. Alex Smith actually had a higher yards per attempt, 7.6 yards per attempt, than Peyton Manning did tonight, 5.7. Also, Ben Almquist, Citadel Chief on Twitter, said, rewatching that last play, if Albert Wilson gets a chip and Morse holds his block, Jamal's off to the races with only Roby to beat. I watched that play about 1,000 times. Really, if Albert Wilson hits his block and a couple other guys actually hit anybody, yeah, Jamal Charles might have actually taken that game for the ending, the storybook ending that it seemed like it deserved on primetime in Arrowhead. He added, this play will be broken down over the next 10 days, and you'll all see that 4 missed blocks doomed what may have been a huge play. Ultimately, I think that play, I mean, the fumble is on Charles, but if that play is well blocked, the AFC West looks different, the AFC looks different, I sound different. If those blocks get made, maybe Jamal Charles is running to the end zone. I apologize for how long this segment was. I expected this to be one of my shorter recaps. No, a week off between shows, from the game to now. Didn't really do it. Didn't make that game any less interesting or aggravating or infuriating to talk about. And now the Chiefs are in the hole trying to make a comeback for the AFC West after just 2 weeks. Monday Night Football, Kansas City Chiefs at Green Bay Packers. Last I've seen this line as of very, 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 very early Friday morning is hovering around 10 points. Originally I saw 7, most recently I've heard 10. Regardless, the Chiefs are heavy underdogs in this game. And if this was a game at Arrowhead, it would be Packers by probably around 4, which I feel like is reasonable, but 10 seems like a little bit of a high number. Let's go ahead and kick off this conversation, though, with injury questions for both teams. The Chiefs are apparently good to go. Jeff Allen was inactive last week. Eric Fisher only played a couple of snaps, but they're both expected to be active this week as of the most recent reports. However, the Packers have some notable injuries. Eddie Lacy, their number one running back and one of the top backs in the league, did not practice on Thursday and seems questionable to go as of right now. As Arrowhead Pride notes, offensive tackle Brian Bulaga had surgery last week. He is out, and the Chiefs pass rush will have a shot to actually make a little bit of trouble there. Also, wide receiver Davante Adams didn't practice, but he seems to be good to go. As I said, everybody on the Chiefs is in good shape as much as you can be after playing in the NFL. Although the Chiefs have the longest break, having not played since Thursday, so they have a extra long week. Let's go ahead and look at some matchups here that either scare me or make me think the Chiefs might be able to do some damage. Let's start with the receivers because that's such a huge part here. In any matchup, Aaron Rodgers has the advantage. It's just that simple. There's no matchup in football where Aaron Rodgers does not have the advantage. But his weapons will be, obviously, a hugely important factor here. Randall Cobb, I would assume, will get a lot of action from Marcus Peters. Davante Adams, assuming he is, in fact, playing. And James Jones will probably be rotated between Phil Gaines and Jamel Fleming unless there are some major changes made in the secondary there. And on that note, let's go ahead and hop over, I suppose, to what Mel Kiper wrote about some top rookies this year. He said that he wrote this about Marcus Peters, quote, "Heading into the draft, I wrote, on tape alone, he has an argument as a top cornerback in the class. Peters looks like it so far. He's had an interception each of his first two games, including a pick six against Peyton Manning in week two. So far, so good." He had Marcus Peters as the number one rookie so far this year. Hopefully, we'll talk about the number three rookie here in a few minutes. Peters against Randall Cobb, the advantage there goes to Randall Cobb, but Peters has looked so good against DeAndre Hopkins and then a little bit of Demaryius Thomas, a little bit of Emmanuel Sanders. Peters has absolutely held his own. So I feel like that will be generally okay. Then the offensive line will be the place where the Chiefs, as I just mentioned, will have a chance to actually do the damage. There are not any recognizable names on the depth chart, on the front end of the Packers' depth chart. Not that they're not any good, and Aaron Rodgers is very mobile, much more mobile than Peyton Manning, so I'm not counting the chickens before they hatch here. But the pass rush the Chiefs can put together, Justin Houston, Tom Bahali, maybe D4 gets on the field a little bit more. Talk about how Jay Howard has been so good. Dontari Poe will be around to get pressure up the middle. DeVito and Alan Bailey have played well. Derek Johnson, and any of the safeties you want to bring into the conversation. The Chiefs, I think, will manufacture some ways to get pressure on Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if it'll be enough or not. And one thing that will also dictate it is how much the Packers are able to run. If there is no Eddie Lacy, that's going to be James Starks getting the bulk of the carries for the Packers. That's what happened last week whenever Lacy left the game. And James Starks is not a bad NFL running back. So, it's a drop-off because Lacy is so good, but James Starks is no pushover. I think the Packers will run the ball, but the Chiefs' run defense last week was so good against the Broncos, who last year relied on the running game. So I'm not super duper horrified of either Lacy or James Starks. Overall, it just feels like there's something here where we're gonna miss. There's gonna be an aspect of it, and maybe it's like last week where I said it's just whoever Aaron Rodgers wants to pick on now. And right now, Aaron Rodgers is better than Peyton Manning by a good margin. Maybe Aaron Rodgers takes his turn to pick on Jamel Fleming this week, and the Chiefs lose the game that way. I really wish Sean Smith was on this team for the first 3 weeks here. I think the Chiefs have a chance to be going 3-0, or at least would be 2-1. Instead, they're facing 1-2 because Aaron Rodgers is so good. The Packers, in their only home game so far this year, had the Seahawks last week and won by 10, 27-17. Now, the Seahawks are 0-2. It's hard to gauge because of their matchups, but they might not be as good as the Chiefs are this year. I would say they probably are better than the Chiefs, but I digress. The Chiefs have a good team here. We've talked about this plenty. If the Chiefs win this turnover battle, it's going to be really interesting. But I'm afraid currently that Aaron Rodgers is going to find a way to pick this defense apart. Defensively, the Packers have a nice unit. It's not anything to write home about. They gave up 23 points on the road to Jay Cutler's Bears and then held the Seahawks to just 17 in Green Bay. I think it'll be enough to give Alex Smith some fits. Last week was one of the most fast, violent defenses I've seen in the NFL in quite a long while. The Packers are not bringing that kind of power and speed. It's not necessarily a good matchup. We know the pieces of the Chiefs offense so well. We know the pieces of the entire Chiefs team. What we don't know necessarily is who's going to be starting at right tackle. Jeff Allen's making his way back into the mix. Eric Fisher's been practicing at right tackle. Ja Reed started week 1 and 2. That's going to be a toss-up, and we're probably not going to know that until Monday evening. It's hard to continually talk about the matchups here because I don't know what to tell you other than the two most simple, obvious things in light of last week. The Chiefs win this game if, if they can disrupt Aaron Rodgers, and if they win the turnover battle by, say, two or more. If those things happen, I think the Chiefs probably win this game. If they win the turnover battle by any more than two, it's gonna be hard to lose that game. And keeping in mind, with the Broncos, after turning the ball over four times, they had a chance for the defense just to step up and stop it, and they didn't. Ultimately, I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers does find a way to pick this defense apart just enough. I'm going to say the offense doesn't quite get rolling. Charles will get his touches and be good. Maybe we see Jeremy Maclin finally get his regular season touchdown here. I'll say this when it winds up. 27-20 Packers. The Chiefs cover the spread, but it's just not enough. Maybe even another late score. I don't really see this game necessarily being a nail-biter. I feel like the Packers will more or less maintain control throughout. Rodgers will find those matchups to pick on. He won't wait until the second half like Peyton Manning did. More mobile, more dangerous. I think this defense is going to fall on its heels a little bit here, a little bit of regression before they have a chance to make it back up next week against Andy Dalton. But falling in this game here would be a real bummer, going to 1-2 as opposed to the potential for a 2-1 at worst season if they just finish off the job against the Broncos. So I think the Packers win this one. I think the Chiefs have a very good team, but I don't think they're going to be able to put it together on this one. Now, on a little bit of a different angle, I got a message from Corey Thiel, I believe it's pronounced Thiel, after the game on Thursday, posing this question. So I'll just read it and then respond. Today, I was really tore up over this game, but I wondered if you might dip into a quick thought of this giving the motivation to pull off an upset next week, since we're known for both winning and losing games we shouldn't. Best example, last year, the horrible Raiders game and the 2012 game was also against the Packers, who were having a fantastic season at that point. That was one of the Chiefs' two wins. I don't think going back that far. By the way, Corey, thank you for the question and bringing this to the table. I love to be able to take questions from anybody listening. So through Twitter, or Corey sent me a Facebook message. I won't add anybody I don't know on Facebook, but if you send me a Facebook message, I'll use that to bring a question to the show. I'm not above that at all. So I wouldn't go back to 2012 and looking at beating the Packers as one of the two wins as being particularly relevant, although the Chiefs have not lost in Lambeau, which is a stat that I did not know before this week. So I wouldn't be dipping back into the 2012 records, but the way the Andy Reid Chiefs teams have played out, losing to Tennessee at home in week 1 and then, you know, last year beating the Patriots and the Seahawks in the year where they were the Super Bowl matchup, I think there is potential for this upset here. I don't mean to say at all, I mean, I said it's a 7-point game, a one possession thing. I don't think at all that it's totally beyond belief that this could actually be an upset. And I do think the Chiefs, because they seem to be well coached, at least until clock management or turnovers are involved, I think they will move on from the Broncos game, or have moved on from the Broncos game pretty quickly. And this, I would say, Corey, is a huge chance at redemption. I think Alex Smith and Jamal Charles and even Andy Reid a little bit have to be looking at this game saying, okay, last week we had a game against, we had our home game against our biggest rival and we gagged that up. If it won't make it up in the AFC West, obviously, but if the Chiefs were to go into Green Bay and win, there would be a lot of redemption in that. So I think that redemption factor, it probably is in their minds. But I wouldn't go back to 2012 to argue for it necessarily, just because it's different. That's just an entirely different team. I don't think they will pull off the upset, but it wouldn't completely floor me like some upsets do, like a bunch of different NFL games throughout the rest of the league last week on Sunday. But as always, Corey, thank you for the question. If anyone else wants to send any questions in, like I said, if you want, you can send it to me on Facebook. I'm Joshua Briscoe, and on Twitter, at JB Briscoe. Honestly, it shouldn't be that hard to find me. This feels like kind of an interesting episode of the Roughing the Kicker podcast here on Arrowhead Addict. I felt like I was talking like a typical solo monologuing radio host with lots of pauses and gasps for air because of how I felt after that Chiefs-Broncos game. Hope you enjoyed it. If you thought this show was weird, good, or bad, let me know, as I said, on Twitter, at JB Briscoe, or wherever you want to get in contact with me. Let me know what you think. Anything seem different with this episode? Did you like it? Did you not like it? I just want to hear what you think. Speaking of what you think, if you like this show, tell other people, other Chiefs fans, what you think about this episode or this podcast being something that other Chiefs fans should be listening to. Special thanks to the Patreon supporters over at patreon.com/RTK. People throw a little bit of money at C. Roadlander on Twitter, Christine Roadlander, Ben Rahman, Jason Essler. You guys make this show go round just like the Chiefs make my head go spinning around whenever they find new ways to lose games. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Bye, Mom. And remember, patreon.com/RTK.